south of the border, down Mexico way. That's where I fell in love when the stars above came out to play. And now as I wander...
Hello there, all you expat wannabes. I'm Johnny Mueller, and you're listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America, the show that tells you just what it's like to live, work, play, and or retire down here in Latin America. It's a mix of the good, the bad, the ugly, and the great, and it's all right here, so let's get started.
Hey, we all do stupid things, right? Sometimes we put our foot in our mouths. When's the last time that happened to you? Because I'll tell you, it happened to me recently. You see, I was sitting at one of those little outdoor cafes, a great people-watching spot. I was sitting there with a longtime gringo friend, and another gringo who I didn't know came over and sat down because he knew my buddy. And it just so happened that at the table right next to us, there was this 60-something white-haired guy that I immediately identified as a European. There are a couple of key giveaways. One is the way they dress. It's slightly different than North Americans or Canadians. I know I'm generalizing, but they have a certain style. A different batch of tattoos, too, though this guy, an older guy, didn't have any that I could see. Oh, and many, many more Europeans smoke than North Americans, and many Eastern Europeans and Russians smoke like chimneys. And Europeans, man, they like to roll their own because it's cheap, and taxes on cigarettes are supremely high there. And then there's the fact that most of them hold their knife and fork in opposite hands. If you're used to watching foreign flicks, you'll know what I mean. Anyway, I lived in Europe a couple of years, so I can spot them. So we're sitting there, and the wind shifted a bit, and I could smell cigarette smoke and the unmistakable odor of longstanding BO, a fatal mix, coming from this older European guy. He was sitting alone, by the way. He was nice and calm. He didn't notice us a bit. Kept looking at his cell phone, which is normal, right? So with the wind shifted my way, I was getting the full odoriferous blast, the essence of this guy, and it wasn't pretty. And the other two guys sitting at the table with me had their backs slightly shifted away from the guy, so they weren't getting any of it. And I said to the two guys at my table, it was a small table, so there were only three chairs, and I was stuck sitting where I was. I said, I don't know how long I'm going to be able to sit here, because that European guy over there has a bit of a hygiene problem and probably doesn't know it. That's usually the case. And my gringo buddy said, is that right? I'm not smelling anything. I said, yeah, you want to change seats with me? He laughed and said, no thanks, I believe you. So along with the usual guy talk, I said to my friend and his buddy, should I play Sherlock Holmes here and tell you a little bit about that guy? Now, for all you ladies listening, that's what guys do when they're together. They cut up on people. That's part of our charm. We like to cut up on each other, too. So anyway, I went into my analysis of the guy. I said, he doesn't know he reeks. He just not all that into hygiene. I've been around lots of guys like that, mostly in Eastern Europe. He's got that lived-in BO. Not the same kind of BO, you know, when guys are exercising and it's fresh sweat and showers off easy. Whereas that guy's BO is kind of like aged cheese. Real appetizing, huh? So then my gringo buddy said, where do you think he's from? Now remember, this guy can't hear us. He's at another table about 8 feet away, plus he's on his phone. Oh, and he's not a backpacker. He's higher class than that. It was easy to notice, too, that his teeth and his fingers were tobacco stained. Yet another clue. He even had a sort of beat-up shoulder purse, all leather. Beat up in a sort of distressed, classical way, which is another giveaway for European guys. I remember, even 20 or 25 years ago, I'd be walking around a place like Tulum, Mexico. Or Panajachel, which is a kind of touristy little city, the first stop when you get to Lake Atitlan in Guatemala, the most beautiful lake in the world. I'd be sitting at a little outdoor cafe with another gringo, an American, and we'd see a guy walk by with one of those little real leather shoulder satchels or purses. We'd say to ourselves or think to ourselves, he's either European or an American gay guy. Did you ever play that people-watching game? It's a lot of fun. You sit down and home in on someone walking by, usually an eccentric-looking person, and try to guess from what they look like, where they're from, what they're like, occupation, etc. Let's put it this way. Lots of European guys carry leather shoulder bags, a decidedly unmacho thing to do if you're a straight American. Though, lately, it's been catching on. So anyway, my gringo buddy was testing me when he said, where do you think he's from? And I said, one of those former Eastern Bloc countries, Lithuania, Romania. And though they've got a lot of class and culture, the hygiene bar can be pretty low there, especially with males. That's when the other gringo at the table piped up and said, I'm Romanian. Big hmm. Place foot in mouth, Johnny. Little dead silence there. But I recovered quickly and said, You know what I mean? All our parents and grandparents came from the old country. Mine came from Germany. And I thought, you know, that would defuse the look on the guy's face. Then he gave me another start and said, not me. I was born in Romania. So I was digging my hole a little deeper. I found out to my chagrin he came to the States when he was 6 from Romania. So he got me there. One of the few times in my life I was caught speechless. A double whammy. So how do you recover from that? You don't. Anyway, it might sound picky and unfair, but unfortunately, people instantly judge others by the way they smell or don't smell because, you know, a lot of people have no smell at all. They're neutral. Though that's not quite right either because obviously animals know when humans are around. When the wind currents are right, they can pick up on a human smell blocks, even kilometers away. So even the 90% of humans in the world who think they have no smell, they're neutral, they're wrong. Then, of course, there's that old person smell when you walk into an old grandma's house. You know what I mean? Kind of musty, mildewy smell kind of lingers there. It's in the walls, furniture. That was my grandma's house for sure. How about yours? Then, of course, there's that special case of backpacker BO. Kind of pervades and permeates everything in that rucksack, including the rucksack. Yep, for backpackers, the hygiene thing's always a bit spotty. Not that they can help it. When you're out roughing it like everything else, you get what you pay for. Oftentimes, it's a couple of days out in the bush. When you're in the jungle for a while or hiking volcanoes, a decent shower can be hit and miss. But I'm telling you, not to be cruel or anything, but I spent some time in the 80s and 90s in Eastern Europe. And I can tell you, many times I'd get into an elevator, even alone as the only passenger. And I just knew whoever rode the thing previously had a hygiene problem, though most likely undetectable to him or her because that's generally the nature of the beast. Same thing with bad breath. People who got it most often don't even know it. Sort of the grandma's house syndrome. So anyway, when was the last time you stuck your foot in your mouth? Don't tell me you can't remember. You don't want to remember. Funny though, and maybe it's luck. Looking back on my early life, for how much a wise ass I remember I was, I only got my ass kicked once. Lots of close calls though. All right, switching gears a bit. You know, the other day I was out in the boonies and I couldn't help but notice a couple of kids were riding mules or donkeys. I usually can't tell the difference. Can you? Come to think of it, I don't think most Americans under 50 have ever seen a mule or a donkey, except maybe at a circus or at a zoo or on TV. But down here in Latin America, you'll see them sometimes. They're alive and well out in the boonies, that's for sure. In fact, sometimes in the smaller towns and pueblos, way off the beaten path, you'll see them pulling carts, just like in those old Zorro and Cisco Kid movies. Though even down here in Latin America, mules get a bad rap. The word mule is mula. Latinos often insult each other using that word. If someone calls a person mula, that's like calling them an idiot or stupid, which are also two of the common insult words, idiota and estúpido. Very self-explanatory. As for me, I've got nothing against mules. Some of my best friends are asses. Speaking of asses, what a segue, huh? Just yesterday, I was at someone's house, a Latino's house, and my Latino friend, the owner of the house, his teenage daughter was sitting at the kitchen table. She was doing her homework and singing a little song along with it. Basically repeating the same verse over and over. Now, you might recall in a past show me saying that Latinos will break into a song at any given opportunity. You could be at a restaurant or in a taxi or Uber, and someone, almost always a female, will break into a song. And sometimes, probably most times, just a verse or two. Not the whole song, just a little part of it. Don't ask me why. It must be that happiness thing. I don't know. So anyway, this teenage girl sitting at the kitchen table, she must have been 16, maybe 17. She's doing her homework and repeating this verse that has the word culo in it. It was the main word, repeated about 6 times. I couldn't miss it. And of course, I don't listen much at all to the words in reggaeton or Latino music. My brain just kind of blanks all that stuff out. Kind of as a defense mechanism to noise pollution, I think. But anyway, when you keep hearing that word culo over and over again, you think, what's a young Latina doing singing songs about culos, butts, asses? So I stopped her and asked, don't tell me there's a hit song out these days that talks about culos. And she laughed and said, oh, yeah. And I said, that's a novelty, but I guess it figures. And she said, are you kidding? And remember, this is all in Spanish now because she spoke no English. Or the usual 10 or 15 words, pleased to meet you and all that. Anyway, she shocked me when she said there were at least a dozen hit songs in the last year or two. All hit reggaeton tunes, focusing on culos, ladies' butts. Now, it took me a few seconds to process that. Because, you know, I hear reggaeton music every day. It's blasting out of everyone. but I just never listened to the words. I shut that out of my brain a long time ago. At my age, I'm trying to preserve my brain cells, not vaporize them. But now, all of a sudden, I'm feeling even more out of touch when it comes to music or what today passes for music. Suddenly, I find out like half or more than half of all the hit reggaeton songs talk about women's butts. I'm thinking, how's that possible? Is that what music lyrics have degraded to? Then I thought, wait, that ties in perfectly with this huge increase with Brazilian butt lift surgery that's so popular here in Latin America. Of course, it's catching on with people in the States too. But it ain't cheap, so lots of them are coming down to Latin America, places like Colombia, Panama, and the DR, where they've got entire hospitals completely devoted to plastic surgery, with probably 80 to 90% of the operations liposuction and Brazilian butt lifts. In fact, for example, there's a particular upscale neighborhood in Santo Domingo, the DR, that has no less than 20 hospitals of multiple floors strictly devoted to plastic surgery. And most of their clients are flying in from the U.S. And all of the plastic surgeons and plastic surgery clinics have a huge internet presence, with bilingual sites strictly focusing on gringos and expats because they can afford it. What might cost 15 to 20 grand up in the States might run 3, 4, 5, or 6 grand down here. Of course, there's always that risk that the doctor doesn't know what the hell he's doing or he's a beginner. I suppose if you do your homework, you'll be all right. But, you know, people just don't like to do homework, right? Anyway, this BBL butt surgery is exploding down here in Latin America. Well, maybe wrong word choice there. You don't want to picture that. And it seems it's a worldwide phenomenon. North Americans are obsessed with it too. Look at the girls on Facebook and Instacrap and TikTok. The ladies look so different now than they did 5 or 10 years ago. Now they've all got super large butts. Retard Asian style. Don't tell me you haven't noticed that, especially in music videos. In fact, I remember 5, even 10 years ago. Sure, Latinas always were a bit more curvy than the so-called perfect stereotype girl up in the States or Europe. But only maybe 1 in 100 or 200 or 500 had an extremely large butt. And when someone like that walked by, people would take notice. But now, in some Latin countries, there are so many girls like that walking around, it's no big thing. Well, wrong choice of words again, huh? And you just know they've had that BBL, that Brazilian butt lift operation. So what do you think the pressure is for the ladies to get that surgery? It's no small thing. It's a major operation with some risks. It's a foregone conclusion they get it because of the pressure from their men. And the competition to look hot and sexy is fierce. Just saying. By the way, remember, once again, if you don't speak Spanish, you'll never pick up on the subtleties of the things we're talking about. And if you hang out on the tourist trail or all you do is hang out with gringos and expats, you'll never get the inside scoop either. Which just goes to show, if you're going to live in Latin America, you have to have a good sense of humor about these kinds of things. Put it this way. If you're a people watcher and a parade of huge-bottomed Latinas walks by, and you're thinking, how in the hell do they find a clothing store to fit that kind of shape? You're certainly not talking standard sizes. Well, you better have a sense of humor. Like expat Eddie says, Mama better have a sewing machine. Stretch jeans don't stretch that much. So when you come on down, bring that sense of humor with you. As soon as you get down here, you'll notice lots of fun and surprising things. Yep, that's right, a sense of humor. You'll need one if you come down here, but you really need one if you're living up in the States. If you don't have one, with all that stress, cancel culture, and virtue signaling, I don't know how you'd get through the day without cracking up. By the way, speaking of music or what passes for music, I like to talk about music once in a while because in a past life I was a B-grade musician, which means, of course, I wasn't a well-known musician, but I got invited to all the right parties. That's what happens to bass players, you know. People don't know who we are, but we're part of the band, so we get invited to all the good parties. The fact is, there are probably only 3 well-known bass players in the history of pop music, and they're all has-beens now. That would be McCartney, Sting, and Flea. So anyway, I'd like to talk about music sometimes on this show because, well, Latin America is just throbbing with music. Maybe another bad choice of words. Throbbing. Coming out of cars, stores, houses, parties, outdoor events, even Ubers and taxis. But you know, something needs to be said that's not politically correct at all. It'll certainly get the average guy canceled, but I'm not on social media and I'm not the average guy. Though there are lots of haters out there. People write a lot of fake news about me on the internet. I've even been a victim of identity theft. You get that sometimes when you're a truth teller. Anyway, something needs to be said about the horrific state of the music biz. Now, according to the independent news outlet, The Conversation, violence accounts for 51% of rapper deaths and 51.5% of hip-hop artist deaths. According to that article, the life expectancy for male rappers and hip-hop artists is approximately 30 years. Crazier yet, amongst rappers, they even have shootouts at funerals. People get shot in recording studios too. In fact, one of my producer buddies tells me, in almost all studios in LA, you have to go through metal detectors now to get in. So the fact is, in the world of rap and hip-hop, black men live statistically short lives. In fact, early deaths, especially violent deaths, are so common that just last week, Nicki Minaj, you might remember her, distraught by the death of PNB Rock, whoever that is, pleaded with her friends and family, and all rappers in general, not to share their locations in real time for fear of future attacks and reprisals. In other words, she's saying don't post your hangouts, your restaurants, your homes, your sex tapes, etc. on social media, or you're taking a chance. In fact, New York City Mayor Eric Adams gotten into a little trouble lately when he declared war on drill rap. You know what that is? An extra violent version of rap. Anyway, here's his quote. He says, quote, "We pulled Trump off Twitter because of what he was spewing. Yet we allow music with the displaying of guns, violence, and killing. We allow this stuff to stay on those sites." In fact, he had meetings with New York City rap artists who use drill rap to post who they've killed and then antagonize the people who they say they're going to kill next. Yep, that's drill rap. Cool, huh? Then the article goes on to say the rap music industry continues to reward people who talk rap and sing about violence, killing, and revenge. Meanwhile, Trisha Rose, who wrote a book called The Hip Hop Wars, she says artists of the genre rely strictly on a, quote, "gangsta, pimp, ho, trinity." But the question is, why is the entertainment industry so afraid to openly talk about this? They're cowards, she says. Even the Democrat and Republican candidates have rap artists play at their campaign gigs. They go on stage with them, put their arms around them, and get fake friendly when the artists talk about hoes, drugs, and killing cops. Then they get invited to White House dinners and party in Lincoln's old bedroom. It's pathetic, she says. Politicians warm up to hip-hop and rap artists for what purpose? To get votes from who exactly? Do gangsters vote? All right, me, Johnny, here with a comment. Meanwhile, white and Latino artists, even talentless reggaeton Neanderthals, no offense to Neanderthals, don't get shot. They die of excess partying and drug overdoses, for sure, while rappers get shot. In fact, the last time a hit happened in the popular white rock genre, correct me if I'm wrong, but it was John Lennon's murder in 1980. But that was not a revenge murder, as most all rap murders are. It was a hit by a completely out of his mind, crazy, obsessed guy. One David Chapman. But that's what rappers want. A street rep as would-be criminals. That's what gives him street cred. Remember 50 Cent? He was shot 9 different times. And has the scars to prove it. Excellent role models, huh? Funny how you never saw the likes of B.B. King, Ray Charles, Earth, Wind & Fire, Stevie Wonder, or Whitney, or Diana Ross, even Michael Jackson, singing about any of that ghetto lifestyle stuff. Well, maybe Stevie Wonder did it once in that song, Living for the City. That was in the 1970s, but he didn't talk about crime in the ghetto. He just talked about poverty. Anyway, even if a media person goes out on a limb to point out how sick the rap music industry is, any words or actions taken by them against rap will be called racist and discriminatory. I can hear it now. Hey, that's what they're going to say about me when they hear this rant. But let's face it, rap is the only music genre whose so-called artists themselves suffer from extreme violence from other so-called rap artists they have a beef with. Why not? Violence is highlighted in practically every single song. All right, so that's my rant. So I said it. Now cancel me, but don't shoot me. Hey, I'm well aware my show is number one with rappers. Anyway, that's reason 3,435 through 95 why it's almost too late to get the hell out of Dodge. Oh, and late-breaking news in this continuing saga. Just got this in right now. 10 people were injured in a gunfight that erupted outside a restaurant in Miami Gardens, Florida on Thursday night during a video shoot for a rapper named French Montana. NBC News 6 reported an altercation started at a different location and eventually ended at the restaurant where New Orleans rapper Rob49 was reportedly among the victims shot. Well, he's building up this street cred resume, isn't he? That is, if he doesn't die. Excellent role models, huh? The fact is, not a week, or sometimes not even a day goes by when you don't read in the news of some rapper getting shot or shot at. By the way, I never heard of that rapper French Montana, have you? But in looking up his song list, he's got a long-running set of songs a series called, get this, Coke Boys. I'll repeat it, Coke Boys. I rest my case. Which begs the question, parents, do you know what your children are listening to? I doubt it. Meanwhile, I'm always getting emails from people asking about Panama. Would it be a good plan B for a green gringo or expat? And they ask, why don't I do a seminar in Panama? Well, because I don't recommend it as a good plan B destination. There are lots of people doing relocation seminars in Panama, but not me. Do I recommend those various relocation groups? I couldn't say. I suppose there's some value there. Fact is, I know Panama. I know it well. I live there for a while. I go back there a couple times a year. Nice place to visit, but I wouldn't want to live there. Nope, I would not move to Panama today. I think its best times are long since past. Now, if this was the year 2000, even 2010, then I'd be all for it. Sadly, that Panama no longer exists. Just goes to show how quickly things can change. I think one of the main drivers that turned the Panama situation into a nightmare was the Panama Papers. Remember that? And then the bureaucracy exploded and the financial crackdown came. Now, that's not to say there aren't some great things about Panama. But in the last couple of years, walking around, I feel like I'm visiting a military state with soldiers standing around every couple of blocks with their military-grade weapons. And with so many gringos piling in, there are lots and lots of obnoxious tourists. Now, I'm sure you've all heard of that recent phenomenon called the digital nomad. It all started just about 2 years ago with this COVID-19 lockdown thing, where so many millions of people were allowed to work online from home. Well, then certain countries, lots of Latin American countries too, offered a temporary residence slash work permit if you came down as a digital nomad. Certain countries offered it because their tourism business got squashed by the pandemic. Anyway, last time I was in Panama, I had a run-in with a couple of really rude U.S. digital nomads with grading better than thou attitudes. They're all over the place. Plus, remember, for a couple of months running, they had food riots and cops stopping people on the street for their COVID papers. Nope, sorry, Panama's not for me. They went terribly overboard on the lockdowns, worse than practically any other Latin American country during that COVID-19 thing. And also, you can cancel me for this too. I don't trust living in a place with such a huge Chinese influence. They're buying up everything and all the warehouses on both sides of the Panama Canal. And Panama's government's got all kinds of non-transparent deals going with the Chinese. How can you trust a government that's so heavily influenced by the Chinese? Again, it's not overkill to say they handled the COVID lockdowns terribly. And unlike most other Latin American countries, they've got tons of police in, for example, Panama City and Cologne. They were everywhere so they could really enforce the lockdown. Nothing casual, haphazard, or spotty about it. Like in most other Latin American cities, in Panama, they were tough. You broke the rules, you got fined or taken away. Maybe that's the Chinese influence, I don't know. Get this, if you lived in Panama City during the lockdown, you got to leave your house only a few hours a week based on the last few digits of your passport or cedula. That didn't happen in any other Latin country I know about. So, for example, if you were married or had a significant other whose passport number was odd and yours was even, you couldn't even go to the store or the doctor together during those few hours a week you were allowed. And they kept those restrictions, even mass restrictions, on for a long, long time. And you know what? It absolutely did not help at all. Their COVID numbers and hospitalizations were the same, even worse, than other countries in Latin America. Oh, and by the way, now that so many gringos and expats are piling in because, you know, international living and AARP and all the rest of the rags have been promoting it so much in the past 5 or 10 years as a top destination for expats. Well, I'm noticing more and more the exact same phenomena I noticed in Costa Rica 20 or 30 years ago now. The locals are not nearly as friendly or welcoming to gringos and expats as they used to be. I'm talking about the people in the service industries, the taxis, the hotels, resorts, restaurants. Something's happening. There's a sense there that I didn't pick up before. Maybe because of all that built-up stress during that hard, excessive economic lockdown during COVID-19. And me, as a guy who's been visiting the place for the last 30 years on and off, as an obvious outsider, I'm picking up on that. Again, you're not likely to pick up on that if you just visit the place once or twice or three times in your whole life and you don't speak Spanish. If you speak enough Spanish to understand what the cleaning lady and the elevator guy are talking about, you'll understand what I'm getting at. You know, I always like to remind people, when you go to a Latin American country and check it out, if you plan on making that your plan B destination, you have to ask yourself a serious question. What's this place going to be like in 5 or 10 years? All you really have to do is look back at the place, the history of it, in the last 5 or 10 years to make a good guess. Have things improved, stayed the same, or gotten worse, politically, economically, and safety-wise? Because that country's not going to be like it is right now, 5 or 10 years into the future. That's why I always say to people who are staunch defenders of Mexico, maybe they live there, go there a couple times a year, have a house part-time there, who knows? They tell me about their little neighborhood, how nice it is, how cheap it is, etc., etc. And I always have just two questions for them. Number one, has Mexico over the past 5 or 10 years gotten better, got worse, or stayed the same? Well, politically, it's always been in the crapper, so in that respect, it's stayed the same. Economically, it's gotten better, which is good. But safety-wise, extortion, narcos, and otherwise, definitely worse. And now that the cartels are into human trafficking, avocados, transportation, tequila, oil, even tourism, the future as a Plan B destination is not bright. Oh, and the second question I always ask defenders of Mexico, have you been to any other Latin American countries and checked them out thoroughly? Because what I found out is at least 95% of people who wave the flag for Mexico, they never did a differential diagnosis. Since Mexico is an easy shot for Americans right across the border. In fact, for a lot of Americans, it's less than a 4-hour drive. So Americans view it as the Latin American destination. They rarely give any other Latin American country a chance. Oh, for sure, a lot of them have visited Costa Rica, but that's thoroughly gringoized. It doesn't count. And even gringos and expats who love Mexico know to live in Costa Rica like a first world person, you got to have a first world income. It's as expensive to live there as it is in any average American city in the States. Basically, us gringos and expats simply ruin the place. You know, some 30 years ago, I lived there for 2.5 years. I even had 2 successful businesses, but I saw the writing on the wall. The place was getting very expensive and the locals were getting tainted, all because too many gringos were coming in too fast. Even way back when, 30 years ago. Imagine what it's like now. Like I said, you have to look at a country's past performance to project what the future's going to be like. But you knew that already, right? All right, we're getting towards the end of the show now. Just an announcement about my upcoming March 2023 seminar to be held in both Guatemala and El Salvador, March 17th through 24th. Just go to expatplanb.com for all info and sign-up details. And remember, if you sign up before February 1st, you're in on that early bird discount. You save $500 off the regular price.
You've been listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America. If you need some help with your own Plan B, we can schedule a one-on-one phone or Skype consult. Just send me an email, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. And if you want to get on the waiting list for my next week-long Expat Insider Seminar in Central America, where you're guaranteed to get a 2 to 5 year head start on your Plan B, send me an email, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. Nos vemos.